Today on Hardwired.
Even if you get what you want, when you're walking in greed, it's never enough. You won't be satisfied. You get one thing and your desires only escalate and you want something else. It's like an addiction. You get one thing, you get this, you get that you always thought you wanted and thought that once you got it, you'd really be happy once you got it. You find you gotta have more and more and more because greed is insatiable.
You are listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious and filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. We know that you're going to enjoy the message, but you can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, hardwired.org. Let's get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so very much for making us a part of your day. We've been going through Bible blockbuster stories, and we're on about the eighth message, I believe, today. And we're calling this one the biggest loser, the rich fool. You know, Jesus gave this parable about a man that had everything that money could buy, but he didn't have God. He wasn't rich toward God. And his day of facing God came. And I'm not going to steal from the rest of the message, but Jesus called this rich man, who in the world's eyes was a great success, but Jesus called him a fool. So let's go right to the story, the biggest loser, the rich fool.
Our story begins with this man who's listening to Jesus teach, and he's all concerned about having been done wrong or done dirty by his brother, who owes him money from an inheritance. So he wants Jesus to step in and handle it as a judge, to step into his business, get involved in his stuff, and tell his brother what to do. But Jesus refuses to intervene, and instead, he deals with this man's problem with greed. He says, I'm not going to deal with what has happened to you or what you consider injustice. Let me talk to you about your real problem. Your real problem in your brother. Your real problem is not what you think you have coming to you. Your real problem is that you're so caught up in money, you can't even concentrate on what I'm saying about everlasting life. You're dangerously distracted by other things. He steps in and he says, let me tell you the truth. Now, he's talking to this man, but in talking to him, talking to all of us. He says, watch out. Be on guard against greed. For life does not consist in how much you have. You do not get happiness from things. Money can take a lot of stress off of you, but can also add a lot of stress. Jesus' point is, money doesn't bring you life. Things don't bring you life. They really don't. So he's popping the American dream, which has always told us if you obtain X amount of money and you get X amount of things and you really get everything that you want, then you will be happy. But it's not true. Scripture teaches that greed is an insatiable desire. Even if you get what you want, when you're walking in greed, it's never enough. You won't be satisfied. You get one thing and your desires only escalate. And you want something else. It's like an addiction. You get one thing, you get this, you get that you always thought you wanted and thought that once you got it, you'd really be happy once you got it. You find you gotta have more and more and more because greed is insatiable. Jesus uses this opportunity to give a parable. Now, keep in mind, Jesus was God. So coming out of the mind of God is a description of a man, and God being God, he never misses, not one scintilla. When God describes a person, he was the great psychologist. He knew people better than we know people. Matter of fact, the Bible says of Jesus, he knew what was in man. So Jesus, being God, draws a picture of this man caught up in a spirit of greed. And he says, when his land began to yield more grain. He was already rich. He was rich before he began to get even more. It says his land was bringing forth an abundance. It's like having a bank account that already you're a multimillionaire, but you keep getting more and you keep getting more, and it just proliferates and it grows. He's already got more than enough, but to him, it's not enough. He's not satisfied. The Bible says he had a conversation with himself. And you know, the most important person you talk to is you. And you're doing it right now, and you're going to do it when you leave. You're going to talk to yourself all day long. It's very important what you say to yourself. It says, he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build even bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. I am going to store up a major 401k. I'm going to have everything I could ever want. This rich man obviously thinks a lot about himself. Now here he is. He's storing up all this grain. He's got more than heart could want. He thinks nothing of giving any of it away. He just says, here's what I'm going to do with it. And he decides to store it up just for himself. And as you read the picture that Jesus draws, it's very clear that this man thinks a lot of himself. He thinks he is it. This rich man prides himself on his intelligence, his success, his efficiency, and his foresight in his business. His plans were like many Americans, that being to ensure his comfort for many years to come, to develop a great retirement plan. Man, if I can just have a couple of $1 million laid away in retirement so that when I finally step away from the job, I can live off the interest, that's the way he's thinking. Now, I want to pull in tighter on him and kind of pick apart what Jesus tells us about him, because really, he's a sketch of the way America has been thinking for so long. First, he did believe he was intelligent. He thought he was smart, and no wonder. He was incredibly successful. He was the Bill Gates of his day. He had acquired a lot of money. He believed he was a smart businessman. You know that he patted himself on the back. He was very, very good at making wise financial investments and assuring the ongoing success of his business. He was good. But how intelligent are you? Jesus wants us to think, to consider. How intelligent are you if you don't consider the unpredictable nature of life? That is, you don't think about your days being numbered. This man, according to Jesus, never thought beyond the present life. He did not think down the road about eternity. He did not consider that he was temporary. You know, one of the Psalms, David the psalmist prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, help me to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom. What's he saying there? He's saying, help me to remember that I'm not going to last forever, that my days are numbered, that I am not eternal on this earth. One day I'm going to die. And when I think about that and realize that I have no guarantee of tomorrow, I'm going to begin to live wisely. Help me to number my days so that I can apply my heart to wisdom. Live a wise life. You know, there's a lot of people with high IQs that live stupid lives. There's a lot of people that are very smart on paper, but they are like this rich man. He did not consider that his days were numbered, and that's one of the things Jesus brings out about him. And James talks about this in his little letter in James 4, verses 13 to 16. Listen to what he says. He says, listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to this city and stay a year and make money. Now, that sounds like this rich man. Today or tomorrow, we're going to take a little trip and go into a city, and we're going to invest in that city and work in that city and make a certain amount of money. James goes on, but you do not know if you have a tomorrow, is what James is telling us. Don't presume on your life. Listen to what James says. What is your life? It's like a fog. You see it, and soon it is gone. Boom. You wake up in the morning, and there's a fog out there where you can't see your hand in front of your face, but in 1 hour, the sun rises and burns it all away, and it's gone. James said, that's your life. Your life is a blink sandwiched in between two eternities, 70 and 10, maybe 80 years we get, 70, 80, and that's it, and then we fly away. James said, you ought to think that way. He said, if the Lord wants us to, we will live. Now, I'm going to read that again. If the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. Scripture is clear. There's no guarantee of tomorrow, and that we should live in a daily dependence on God. If the Lord wills, I'll get to the end of this day. If the Lord wills, I'll get this or that done. If the Lord wills, I'll see my next birthday. If the Lord wills, I'll see tomorrow. But if the Lord doesn't will, then folks, we're not going to be here. And that's wisdom. When you think that way, then you live godly because you know, and you make the most of your time. See, there are people who say, when I reach a certain age, that's when I'll come to Jesus. That's when I'll give my heart to him. That's when I'll sell out. That's when I'll really become a disciple. And you know what? They almost never do, because that day never comes. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Right now, you have today, you have now to do what you're going to do for God. Whatever you're going to do for God, do it now. Because there's no guarantee. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. And that's what the Bible says. And our rich man in the parable fits James' description perfectly, because he's assuming he's going to have 10 years, 20 years, retirement. And God comes to him and says, tonight is your night to meet your maker. He was smart about investments, but foolish about the temporary nature of life. So in Jesus' parable, God looked down from heaven and said, you fool, this very night, your life, your soul is going to be demanded from you. Right in the middle of his best laid plans, his time on earth came to a close, just like that. So it's not really very intelligent to put yourself in that position. Do you consider yourself smart, intelligent? You got a decent IQ? Then let me submit to you. You will not only think about the brief 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or 40 that remain in your life, but you will also be thinking beyond that to eternity. That's what Jesus taught. And am I ready to meet my maker? And am I living the way I should? And has he really got me? Or am I kind of playing church? Now, next, our rich man really thought he had great foresight. And in a business sense, he did. He was very careful to think about everything long before the time so that he would not reach a day where the money ran out. And, you know, I think about the elections that are coming up November 6th, just a couple of weeks, and how it just seems our country cares about one thing, the money, the indebtedness, the economy. And I know that's important, but folks, life is more than that. Jesus said that your life doesn't consist in what you possess. There is way more to life than how the economy is doing. We ought to be thinking, what about the spiritual condition of America? What about the moral condition of America? What about the way America has departed from God? That sits on me like an 800-pound gorilla. I want to see America turn back to God. And if America will turn back to God, the economy will take care of itself.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, hardwired.org. You'll find today's program along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's a growing list of great things to check out at the site. So hop on over and check it out, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. And be sure to tell your friends about the program. We know you're being blessed by it. I'm sure your friends will be as well. We're here to reach as many people for the Lord as we can. So getting the word out will help us on this mission. And that's what this program is all about. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
Kick back, he thought, this rich man. I'm building bigger barns. I've got more grain. I've got more than enough. He thought to himself, you've worked hard. Now enjoy your latter years. You deserve it. But his thinking about the future, his foresight, only reached a few years down the road. He wasn't thinking about what lay beyond this life. He was concerned about old age, but not about eternity. His intelligence didn't consider the brevity of life, and his foresight didn't take eternity into account. Have you? And then there was his view of himself. No doubt about it. Our rich man surveyed his barns, his fields, his investments, and patted himself on the back. He had it made in the shade, he thought. He'd won the game of life. He was on top of the pile. He'd arrived. But what is successful about a man who dies and leaves everything he worked for behind and didn't store up anything for eternity? When all that you've worked for will only be enjoyed by somebody else? Have you really succeeded, Bill Gates? Have you really succeeded, Donald Trump? If you win the world, Jesus said, what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world and all the money in it, but lose your own soul? There's no profit. The most important possession you've got is not your bank account and not your job and not your health. It is your soul that has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the most important possession you've got. But he worked all of his life to live it a few short years and then die, and left it all to somebody else. Solomon realized this, and it vexed him. It vexed him. He wrote about it. Ecclesiastes 6, verse 2. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, wrote these words. God gives some people great wealth and honor and everything they could ever want. But then he doesn't give them the chance to enjoy these things. They die. And someone else, even a stranger, ends up enjoying their wealth. This is meaningless, writes Solomon. A sickening tragedy, end quote. I work all of my life and I leave it for somebody else that didn't work for it. He said, that's not fair, but it's a fact of life. I saw a bumper sticker one time and it read, he who dies with the most toys wins. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus would not agree with that bumper sticker. That bumper sticker encapsulates the philosophy of America, that if you die with a lot of things, you win. No, I'm going to tell you, you can die with a lot of things and lose. You can die with a lot of things and be the biggest loser. Because you can't take anything with you. Naked you came into this world, and naked you will leave this world. You didn't bring anything in, and you're not taking anything out. Even though some people try to the point of even requesting that they be buried with certain things they were attached to. Sir Walter Raleigh was buried with his favorite pipe and a tin of tobacco. And I assure you, Sir Walter, there's no smoking over there. Wild Bill Hickok was buried with his Sharps rifle. Wild Bill, there's no shooting over there. Bela Lugosi was buried with his Dracula cape. There's no biting over there. Humphrey Bogart was buried with a small gold whistle that reminded him of Lauren Bacall. But you can't take her or it over there. Elvis was buried with a diamond ring, and Frank Sinatra was buried with a flask of Jack Daniel's whiskey. Sorry, Frank, you did it your way. But you're not going to drink over there, and nor will the Rat Pack be with you. And I got this one, Sandra Eileen West. You don't know the name, but she was a California socialite, and she was buried with her 1964 Ferrari. They dug a great big hole and lowered it down with her in it. But you can't take it with you. See, all these people wanted to take with them what they can't. They took right to the grave what they were attached to instead of being attached to him. This cuts to the very meaning of the word sin. You know what sin means from the Greek language? It means to miss the mark. We think of sin as, well, I just messed up and I did something that God didn't like and my relationship with him is cut off. Yes, that's true, but the real meaning of the word is to miss the mark, to miss the bullseye. It means you miss the meaning of life. You don't hit the bullseye. You can become a billionaire and miss the mark. You become famous and miss the mark. You can break all the rules and live to 90 or 100 years old and become a centenarian. But when you die, if you didn't live for God, you still miss the mark. If you live a life of sin, you can acquire many, many, many things. But God looks at you and says, fool, you missed the mark. You didn't hit the bullseye. You didn't live for what life is truly all about. I'm so thankful. I told both services, and I'll tell you, I'm very thankful. By grace I stand, but God touched me when I was young. And I gave my heart to him fully and completely when I was 18 years old and started preaching when I was 18. I've been preaching the vast majority of my natural life on earth. And I'm so thankful that God got me young because I've served him all these years. And I say that to his glory because I was one great big mess. But God took a mess and made something out of it and let me preach. And I've preached tens of thousands of messages to hundreds of thousands of people. And I've seen thousands of people come to Christ. And I'm so thankful that I served him because, listen, I believe that even though you can't take anything with you, you can send treasure ahead of you. Amen. You can send it ahead. Well, Pastor Jeff, how can I do that? Listen, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths, corroded by rust, stolen by burglars, and taxed to death by the government. Oh, I'm sorry, he didn't say that. That was a Freudian slip. That just came out. He said, store up treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars and the government. Can I tell you that spiritual riches can't be taxed, can't be stolen, can't be tarnished, can't be corrupted, can't be taken. Spiritual riches are safe and secure in the nail-scarred hands of Christ Jesus. You can live for the Lord on earth, and in so doing, send treasure, store up treasure in heaven. The Bible promises He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder of those who seek the Lord and do His will. That's why I believe in giving to others and ministering Jesus and letting your light shine and letting your life count for God. When my all-time favorite pastor lay on his deathbed, Pastor Howard Knatzer, there was a room full of men, elders and his pastors, and he was just hours away from going to meet the Lord, and he stuck out his long bony finger that I was very familiar with because he was always pointing it when he preached. And he said, "Men, whatever you're going to do for God, do it now." He was 52. He thought he had many more years. Thank God his life counted incredibly. Listen, part of him is standing here in me talking to you. I stand on the shoulders of people that mentored me. I thank God for the men that influenced me. Howard Knatzer, through his life and me being under him for a number of years, is talking to you in part right now because my life was changed because of him. And that's going to be part of the reward he receives in glory. Folks, listen, live for the Lord, live for Jesus, live for God. You'll never regret it. I have presided over many funerals, and I have been at the bedside of many people about to meet the Lord, and I've never had one person say to me, "Boy, do I regret serving God." I've never heard it. I have heard, "If only I'd loved my loved ones more, if only I had served the Lord more, if only I hadn't waited so long to come to Him." See, this rich man, in the end, he placed all of his eggs in the wrong basket. He'd been all about material riches, but had no sense when it came to spiritual riches. Jesus sums up his life in four sad words: "Not rich toward God." Not rich toward God. Jesus summed up his life: not rich toward God, only rich toward himself. Listen to all the personal pronouns in Jesus' description of this man's inner thought life as he thought to himself. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself," and I'm about to throw up reading all these. "Now take it easy," he said to himself. "Eat, drink, and be merry." He, himself, I, my, myself. I counted 15 personal pronouns in two verses. He would have really fit in our culture. It's all about me, what I can get. I'm entitled. You owe me. I deserve it. You should give this to me and that to me. It's all about me. Make me happy. I want to be happy. It's all about me. My world, the sun in my life around which I rotate, is me. No wonder God called him a fool, the biggest loser. At the height of his success, God decided his life had gone on long enough, and it was time to call him to account for the way he had lived. God said to him, "You fool, this very night, your soul is required of you." I looked up that word "required." In the Greek language, it comes from a word meaning your soul entrusted to you by God for a time is now demanded back. And it struck me, even our soul is a trust from God. So the rich man who had seemed to have it all entered eternity in poverty. His intelligence, foresight, perceived success failed him on the other side. On earth, he looked like the biggest winner on the cover of Forbes magazine if he'd lived today. But in heaven, he was considered the biggest loser. Jesus closed by saying, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." And so the Lord ended his warning about greed. Were you rich toward me? Or were you like the rich man? Me, myself, I, me, you, me. That's a thought, isn't it? Rich toward God is, how much of my time does he get? Does he get a tithe of my time? Does he get a tithe of my money? Does he get a tithe of my talent? Does he get a tithe of me? And if you're really wise, you'll want to give me more than a tithe. I want to be rich toward God. Once it's gone, it's gone.
We appreciate you listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear this message and hardwire the teaching into their daily life. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, We would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online to our website at hardwired.org. And be sure to bookmark the web address to your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? Your valuable contribution makes a big difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a Hardwired partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or go online to hardwired.org, 877-884-3111 or hardwired.org. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very, very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.